this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised seven to raise models of integrity and power. Models that rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where He has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join God's choice servant for the world of His grace.
Father, thank you, our Maker. Thank you, our Redeemer. Thank you because you had it all planned out that you, God, will carry our burden for us. Not only whether we cannot carry this burden by ourselves. Please accept our thanks in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask this morning that you speak to us by yourself and cause our ears to hear you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. May please be seated in His presence. I want to welcome you to the first service this morning in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And on behalf of my Father, Reverend Yemi Grace Atman Adoloju, you are welcome. He is on a ministry assignment. He sent his greeting, and I know he's with us in the spirit. Amen. Amen. By the grace of God, I'm going to read a portion of the scriptures. Please, I want you to follow. We're reading from Matthew chapter number 11. I'd like you to listen very attentively this morning. I got about 40 minutes to do this. 40, 45 minutes, I should be done. But I'd like you to listen very well. Matthew chapter number 11. I want to start reading from verse number 25. Please, let's follow. Matthew chapter 11. I will read from verse 25. Matthew 11, 25. I'll read from here. And at that time, thank you. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, verse number 26, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. Verse number 27, all things are delivered unto me. Please look at that scripture very well because we are going to get there shortly. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son, underline the word the Son, but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son. Look at the word the Son again. And he to whosoever the Son, underline the word the Son, will reveal him. Verse number 28. Come unto me. That's our anchor scripture in Lighthouse Narayan Christian Center in this month of January. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse number 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Verse number 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I will be speaking for the next 40 minutes on the subject I've entitled Special Invitation. I will ask you to join me to pray when the time comes, but I'd like you to listen very attentively to the discourse this morning. In Lighthouse International Christian Center, our theme for the month of January is picked from Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. It's a popular scripture. Incidentally, in the Synoptic Gospel, you are going to find this statement just in one gospel, and that is Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. You won't find it in Mark. You won't find it in Luke. John is not part of the Synoptic Gospel, so you're not going to find it in any of those. But you're going to find it in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. Most of the times, whenever we hear this word, come unto me, we think it's just an evangelistic message, an evangelistic discourse, an evangelistic discussion meant for those who have not known Jesus, meant for those who have not come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But no, that's not totally correct. If the scripture says, come unto me, it was an open invitation, a special invitation, not only for those, or not only to those who are not born again, not only to those who are outside the fold, even to some of us, and even all of us, who are in the fold. So, what do we mean by an invitation? Ladies and gentlemen, at one point or the other, in your life, you might have been invited to a function, you might have been invited to an event, somebody invited you to Lighthouse, whether you invited yourself or not, but one way or the other, there are some of us that were invited into Lighthouse to come and be part of what God is doing here. So you are invited, you came, you are invited for an event, you are invited to an event, you are invited to an occasion, you are invited to join an association, you are invited to join a club,
you might even be invited to join a cult.
Several years ago, I needed to get something from somebody. I was desperately in need of that thing. I needed the code, and I looked everywhere. There was no way I could get the code. I got a boy, and I spoke to him on the phone. I said, "Please, can I get this code?" He said, "We should meet." We got to UI under one big tree. I will never forget. He said, "Pastor," we began talking. It was about, they were preparing for an election. It was one of these election years. And so we got talking. As we were talking, I began to talk to him. I said, "Look, I need this code. Let me have it." He looked at me after I've discussed and talked for about 30 minutes or thereabout. He said, "Pastor." He asked me in Yoruba language. He said, "Pastor, egbe wulewa." So I felt he was asking for the party I belong. You know, say, "Pastor, we are members of every party. APP, whatever it is you call it, PDP, APC. I said, I called his name. I said, "Bugu egbe ni moshi." Because I didn't know which one he belonged. I was thinking that maybe it was PDP or APC. I said, "He said, "Gbeba." I said, "I belong to every party." I said it. Okay, I said, "I belong to every party." He said, "Yen lamba yin so ni. Mo ni court wulewa." I looked at him. I called his name. I said, "You just said pastor. Do pastors belong to court?" He said, "Sit down there." He said, "Just say, oh, me pastor, see, you don't be the woman, what means shake me now?" Ah. He said, "What you are looking for belong to the boys." I said, "The boys?" He said, "Is it that you belong to the boys or you won't get it?" I look at my age, I was well over 40 that time. If I now go and join the boys' club because I need a code, and I understand when I was on campus that if you want to belong to that kind of what your eyes will see, your mouth might not be able to say. I said, at this age, some stupid boys will now be beating me because I need a code. Apart from the fact that I'm a pastor. I said, "Tony, leave your code. I will go and meet the God of the boys if you are not going to give me the code." Ladies and gentlemen, you are invited to be part and parcel of a particular association. You don't even know what it entails. So, there is always an invitation to join something. There is always an invitation to be a part of something. There is always an invitation to meet somebody. Ladies and gentlemen, there are invitations you need in order to get to meet the president of this nation. If he does not invite you, you cannot go and meet him. If the governor of this state does not give you an open invitation, you are not going to be welcome if you try to get cash into him. Ladies and gentlemen, there is an invitation that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28. But before this time, there have been invitations in the scripture. But most of those invitations, some of those invitations were either turned down or accepted. You do three things with invitation. You either respond immediately, or you turn down the invitation, or you come back at a later time to honor the invitation. So, in the scripture, when you look at the Bible, there were invitations that were given, and the way men responded to them. Number one, Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19. Jesus was going about looking for disciples. He wanted to recruit disciples. He got to Peter. The Bible says, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In the recess of the matter, Jesus gave an invitation to Peter and some of the boys, and the Bible says they left their net immediately and they followed him. That was an invitation to become fishers of men. That may not be applicable to you, because if I say, "Come, follow me, I want to make you fisher of men," in actual sense of the matter, what I'm saying is, I want to change your job. I want to change your profession. And if you're not willing to drop your job and drop your profession, you might not honor that invitation. Number one, it was an invitation to Peter to leave what he was doing and take up another profession. And Peter accepted and he honored that invitation. So there could be an invitation for you to drop what you are doing now and pick up something that will have an eternal value. Peter did that. Some of us will not want to. Somebody told me several years ago, he said, if God calls him, he will tell God that is not interested in picking his God for now, because what he's doing presently is fitting him well. So for him, such invitation is not welcome. Number two, the Bible talks about a young ruler in Matthew chapter number 19, verse number 21. The man was rich, the guy was having it, he was having a good time. Scripture says, if that would be perfect, talking about the young man here, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. What? Pause there. You will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. This young man, when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, because Jesus promised him a treasure in heaven that he was not even sure whether when he gets there he will meet the treasure. My friend, who happened to be a missionary along the Seine or your road, told me a story. You see, when you are a missionary, you need to be very careful, extremely careful, if you reach out to those who are not literate. One day, service was going on, and right in the midst of the service, a member of the church raised his hand. As I'm preaching now, somebody just raised his hand and said, Pastor, move your words, your money, then. Which I said, fantastic. Honestly, they ask open a question. Move you what your modern ilenu. That pastor, I need to say something. Pastor, okay, you stop and you have to listen. He said to the pastor, any ki ada uigba ada. You ask us to pay offering, we're paying it. Any ki ada idamewa ada. You ask for tithe, we'll pay. Any ki ada uomode ada. He was mentioning all the money the pastor was calling and they were paying. He said, he now said this in Yoruba, Tia ba di orun, ti Jesu, ta ba ba Jesu mbe, ija yopo. This man, he said, if we get, it was my friend who told me, I was not part of the church, he told me himself. He said, you ask us to pay tithe, we are paying. You ask us to give offering, we are giving. You ask us to do this, we are doing it. You ask us to draw this money, if we get to heaven, and Jesus is not there, we fight to finish. And my friend had to explain to you, we see Jesus there. So what this place was saying about this rich ruler is this: come, drop whatever you are having, sell everything that makes you rich and thick, and you will have treasure in heaven. Excuse me, how many people have gone to heaven and come back that you say, I should do drop whatever I'm doing now and go and lay treasure in one heaven? The man was confused. The Bible says he went away. That was an invitation that was not honored, because the man did not understand the implication of what Jesus was asking him to do. Ladies and gentlemen, it was an invitation for him to come and drop whatever it is that he has that is making him big and have treasure somewhere in heaven. Number three, there could be an invitation. Jesus in John chapter 7, verse number 37, the Bible says, in that last day of the great feast, the Bible says, Jesus stood and shouted and called. Now, I'm not saying third John, I said John chapter 3, John chapter 7, verse number 37. He said, Jesus stood in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Wonderful statement. When you read this scripture very well, it was an open invitation. Go ahead, go to verse 43. It was an open invitation for those who are thirsty to come to Jesus. But do you know that in verse number 43, because of what this statement meant, because of the way it was a public announcement, a public invitation, it wasn't a special one. As many as heard, it led to discussion, it led to disagreement, it led to argument among the hearers. So verse number 43, the Bible says, so there was a division among the people because of him. And that scripture says, because of this saying, what Jesus said, the invitation that Jesus gave, led to division. In fact, if you read that scripture very well, you will understand that same invitation nearly caused Jesus to die, because they wanted to undo him, they wanted to arrest him because of what he said. So that was an invitation. Oh, thank you, verse number 12. And some of them would have taken him for giving out this kind of an invitation. So an invitation could be given out that people will not understand, or that may land you in trouble, ladies and gentlemen. But something is very peculiar, and I want you to please listen very carefully. God, by the help of the Holy Spirit, he spoke to our Father in the Lord, and he says the month of January is our month of come unto me. It's a month that you and I need to lay solid foundation on what we are going to build our life on. So in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, there was a special invitation that was given out. The Bible says Jesus stood and said, come unto me,
All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Before you get to this particular verse, number 28, I'm going to run through and I'm going to go to ask you to read John chapter, Matthew chapter 11, verse number 1, Matthew chapter 11, verse number 13, Matthew chapter 11, verse number 14, Matthew chapter 11, verse number 21. You are going to read in that order. You will find out that what opened Matthew chapter 11 was the man called John the Baptist. John the Baptist was thick, was powerful. He was 6 months older than Jesus. In fact, they were cousins. And so, everybody was going to John the Baptist before he was sent into prison. When he got to prison, he sent some of his disciples to go and meet Jesus and ask him, Master, me, and tell him whether he was the one that should come. So, as soon as the disciples left Jesus, the Bible says Jesus began to talk to them about John the Baptist. Natural sense of the matter. You would think Jesus was advertising John the Baptist. You would think Jesus was saying John the Baptist is a good man. In fact, of course, he said he was a good man, a mighty prophet. So he said it's a very good thing about John the Baptist. When he got to verse number 12, he introduced another people. He said, the law and the prophet. Ladies and gentlemen, the law and the prophet. Is that verse number 13? For the law and the prophet and the law prophesy unto John. So you continue to read until you get to verse number 21. He was shouting and was speaking against three cities. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. Woe unto thee, Capernaum. For if the mighty works that were done in you were done in Tyre and Sidon, they will have long ago repented. When he now go to verse number 28, he said, come unto me. Listen to me, people of God. Give me 1 minute. He was saying there are options. You have options in John, but don't go to him. You have options in the law, don't go to them. You have options in the prophets, all manner of prophets. All manner of prophets, prophesying and prophelying. You have options in them, don't go to them. Come unto me. And he made sure he advertised himself for every one of them to know that none of the people who had come before him or who will come after him could match him. Could match up with him. In Numbers chapter 10, verse number 29, Moses was a powerful man. Scripture talks about a situation where Moses was journeying into the promised land and he gave an open invitation to Hobab, the father of Raguel. He says, come down with us. We are going to do you good, for God has spoken good about us. Verse number 30, the Bible said, that man said, no, I'm not following you. In actual sense, as a result of my age, I can't be following you to go and see any good anywhere. So Jesus was able to put up himself and say, don't believe the prophet. Don't say you are putting your confidence in the law. Don't say the law and the prophet are your solace. I am Jesus. Come unto me, because I have an offer which none of them will be able to give you, and that offer is the offer of rest. Everybody likes to rest. There is nobody who is resting. Zebulun, no. Issachar, Genesis chapter 49, verse 15. The Bible says, You found out that rest is good. And he saw that rest was good, and the land that was better, I bow my shoulder to, and become a servant to tribute. Because somebody is looking for rest, he can become a servant to taskmaster. So people want rest. There's nobody who does not want rest. Jesus promised and said, come unto me. I call it special invitation because it was the only invitation that promised you what no other person can give you. It was the only invitation that promised you what you cannot find in any other place. It was the only invitation that made Jesus the only one and the only solution to the needs of men. He said, come unto me, I will give you rest. You don't give what you don't have. It means Jesus had the rest he wants to give. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark chapter 4, verse number 38. Mark chapter 4, verse number 39. Jesus was in the ship, and the Bible says he was sleeping right in the ship. Don't ever compare Jesus with Jonah, who was sleeping because of what he caused. It was not Jesus. I said Mark chapter 4, verse number 38. Thank you. And he was in that part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say, Master, 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 careless not that we perish. And Jesus stood up and he was able to calm the storm. When he was sleeping inside the storm, when storm was against the ship where he was, it was because he had rest. He knew that there is no way the storm could submerge him. I'd like to announce to you that if you have Jesus in your life, there is no storm that can drown your ship. Several years ago, I listened to his song. I may not know how to sing it very efficiently. The man said, Shama wamilo babami mashide kokoidano. And because it's in your ship, you can never be drowned.
Oun shomo oloku beni. A oni si pelu. I'm only, you remember that song? Emi obori isoro dada. That man sang it, that was somewhere, and he said, Emi ni obori ogun esu. Obori isoro dada. Boti le oko ogun o. Oun shomo. O kan se mi beni. A oni si pelu oku re. Obo. Thank you sang it very well. I thought you would have sang it joyfully, happily. So, as Jesus was in the inner part of the ship asleep, he thought he was going to be crushed, but he wasn't going to be crushed. There is no way Jesus will be in your boat and you are going to sink. I come to the cross of the matter. I come to the cross of the reason why we are gathered together this early morning to hear special invitation. Please find out. If somebody invites you, what will determine whether you are going to honor that invitation? We are going back to our scripture now. What will determine whether you are going to honor that invitation? Will have to be one. Who is inviting you? If it's not somebody you attach importance to, you might not honor him. Let us find out who is saying, come unto me. John, turn your scripture. That same Bible. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 27. I read. I was asking you to note this scripture the other time. Matthew chapter 11. Who is the person asking us to come unto him? Matthew 11, 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son. Look at the word the Son. But the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father. Save the Son. And give to whosoever the Son will reveal him to. Who is the one calling you? Who is asking you to honor an invitation? Who is throwing up an invitation unto you? The Son of the Living God. Apostle. The Son of the Living God is asking you and I to come unto him. Let me ask you this question. Sincerely speaking, in all honesty. If you got a call from the president of this country, forget whatever you have, whatever you idea about him. Please, forget whatever, forever. And says, am I speaking with so person? I remember again, I was with a woman, and the woman was telling me that the president of this nation called her husband one time, and he said, the husband picked up the phone, and the person on the other side of the phone said, this is Olusegun. The man said, Olusegun, who is Olusegun? The man said, Olusegun Obasanjo. Ah, he said, Baba, good morning, sir. Good afternoon, sir. He said, her husband was prostrated in the sitting room because of the phone he received from the president of this nation. That shows the person at the other. He said, oh, of course I'm not. Well, of course you do. There's a way the horror of the man at the other hand is that will make you to want to be prostrated even without him being there. So, if the president of this nation, just in a way, give you a call as you are preparing to come to church, you don't know how he got. Don't ask me if I were the one. Praise the Lord. Imagine me preparing to come. Baba said I will preach today. And I got a call from the president of this country. I'm only saying it, I didn't get a call. If I got a call, you will see me. Praise the Lord. I'll call. I'll put a call through resident pastor Joseph. Amen. If you are the one, would you show up? Amen. Amen. Let's face it, reality. Thank you, sir. My pastor has said, Ben. Because you forget. I'm talking about, I'm not saying he sent any, he detailed any of his aides. There was the one at the other end of the phone saying, I'm sending a chopper to pick you up in the next 30 minutes. I'm telling you, I would have landed there before I put the call through. Sincerely speaking, because of the personality of the person making the call. Somebody said, no, what I'm talking about. Listen, if you don't honor it, they will come after you. It's a disgrace for somebody of that caliber to put a call through to you and you say you are doing something else that you're not going to come, except if you are sick. And in fact, they can't even carry you as you are sick. To show him that, look, we are sick. VSS, everybody will be after you. 1 a.m., they will come to your house. the rest will be stone.
Ladies and gentlemen, the personality, the worth of the person. Give me the
14 minutes. Again. Amen.
Praise the Lord. The personality of the person giving the call is very, very important and paramount. Scripture says, the son, I was able to show you that the person making the call is the son of the living God. It was said, the son of the father, the son of the father, the son of the father, the son of the father. If he says he's the son of the father, he shows that without him, you can never get to the father. Forget anything anybody is saying. He said, there are many ways that lead to heaven. Leave them. It's not possible. Oh, how can it be Jesus alone that will take you to heaven? My friend, listen. If Bible says is the son of the father, you can only get to a father through a son. He loves and he cares for. So Bible says, he said, I, the son of the father. So in this scripture that we have just read, it was the son or is the son of the father that was giving you an invitation. And I'd like you to say, to know very emphatically, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Because he was the one giving the personal invitation. I am very sure that he has, you see, if you see big men anywhere, the first thing you notice about them is that they have bouncers around them. Life is somehow. Somebody, I read it sometimes ago. Somebody said life is, that was the way he put it. I can't remember now, that the bodyguard is always bigger than the person. There's no way they can have a bodyguard to brush your son now. You will look at if you are going to get a bodyguard, a bouncer, most of the time they are double the size of the people they are looking after. So, if Jesus is giving a personal invitation for you to come, he knows that he has taken care of whatever it is that could prevent you from coming close to him. So, you can access him without any intermediary. You can access him without being blocked. You can access him without being bounced off. So he said, come unto me. Do not be afraid. I am ready to receive you and accept you. And one of the things that makes this invitation very special, he didn't say you should do anything before you come. Just come. Say, oh, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm a sinner. Horrible one at that. Come. You don't know I have left you for a long time. He said, come. Every time there is an open invitation from the Lord Jesus, brethren, it is wisdom to honor him, because it is an honor to be invited by him. There were people who will never have listened to this kind of message. It is an honor to be invited by him. So number one, who is the one calling? The son of God. Number two, who is the one calling? Look at this scripture. Let me pick out one thing again about this person who is calling. Look at this scripture. Now the same verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my father, and no man knoweth the son but the father. Neither knoweth any man the father save the son, and he to whomsoever the son will reveal him. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse number 5 talks about Jesus being the mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5. Jesus being the mediator. Thank you. For there is one God. Everybody say one God. Say it loud, please. Say it again, please. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. What is the meaning of a mediator? The Yoruba translation, thank you, I need only verse 5. The Yoruba translation of this says, Onilaja. A mediator is someone that mediates between two people that try to settle quarrel and settle scores. The scripture says, there is one God. Fantastic. Every other person, people believe that religion, whether your religion is Christian or not, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. If he is the mediator, he chose that anytime you have issue with the father, he's there to settle the scores. Excuse me, that's why he's calling you. He said, come unto me, because one, I'm the son of God. Two, because I am a mediator. I'm the mediator between God the Father and you. So if there is any issue between you and my Father, if there's any issue between you and God, I will be the one to stand in between you and God and say, excuse me, MIT, Pama, Fulani, dear. Excuse me, can you please give him some time? Let us sort this matter out. So a mediator mediates between God and the Father. How I wish you will hear me today and hear me correctly, that you will need him. You will always need him, because there will always be issue. I'm telling you, sir. There will always be issue. There will always be cause to be settled.
we always have one thing or the other that God, you see, most of the time, some of the things that we do, if we were to have done it in the Old Testament, would have long ago been forgotten. Many of us would have died. But because there is a mediator who is pleading and saying, Father, have mercy. Who is saying, Father, please let us give him some time. He will still come over. Leave him alone. I'm going to handle his matter. That's the role he is playing. So he said, come, because I am the mediator. Number three, this is very big and very serious issue. Number three, what is the identity of the person calling you? That verse number 27. The first thing that shocked me when I read this scripture is this: all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Hallelujah. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world of things. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 34. The God knows that you need these things. Thank you. Thank you. 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Can you go to verse 35? Let me see whether it's 35. Can you do? Matthew chapter 6. Alright, I'll go there myself. Praise the Lord. Don't worry, we'll be there in a moment. Alright, verse 32, please. I need verse 32, not 34, 32. Now, I read from here. Thank you. For after all these things, underline the word things, do the Gentiles seek for your heavenly Father. Everybody say heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. Knowing that you have need of all these things. Your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things. Now, put this scripture. Marry it what you have in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. Is that right? Am I still preaching the Bible? Or I'm preaching to myself? Thank you. For your heavenly Father knoweth you have need. Thank you. You are doing a good job. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things. So in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, for all things are delivered unto me of my Father. The heavenly Father that knows you have need of all these things is now saying, all those things you need, I deliver it to Jesus, who happens to my son, to happen to be my son. So if you need these things, go to Jesus. I beg you. Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 22. He that findeth a wife is 18. praise the Lord. Abi think on it. Hallelujah. And when you find it in the Lord, it gives you a peace of mind. You rest. And somebody was, there was a disagreement, a misunderstanding between one man and his wife. He was heated. And the man was a bit angry. Said, I have been telling you, you must embrace your mistake. You must embrace your mistake. You must embrace your mistake. As he said it the third time, the woman stood up and embraced him. The man said, what are you trying to say? You are my first mistake. Praise the Lord. Embrace your mistake. Keep embracing your mistake. Praise the Lord. Your heavenly Father, when you have it, those ones are not going to give you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now listen. It's a thing. And when this God was going to do it, he made sure that he knows you need this thing called wife. And he handed her over to Jesus. For you to go to Jesus. Thank you, sir. And get it there. Amen. For your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of these things. But he will not give you these things except you go through his son to get it, because they are delivered unto his son. What am I talking about? Who is the one calling you on the other side? Is the one in charge of things. Now look, what is it that you are looking for that you cannot get in him? What? He said, come unto me. I'm in charge of things. Come
unto me, there are things I will give you freely. And he says, we'll find out later as we get a very conclusive place to stay, to stop, that you get those things free of charge. Honestly speaking, I have come to find out there is nothing unbelievers I can get through any other means that we cannot get through Jesus. Excuse me, sir. Nothing. Again, nothing. Again, nothing. I said, bring myself again, nothing. Because all those things were added over. He said, who can find? He said, a faithful man, who can find? You can only find a faithful man through Jesus. Hallelujah. So, all these things are handed over unto me. For me to distribute, for me to give out, at no price, free of charge. Ladies and gentlemen, and now I want to ask you a very serious and important question. If Jesus, the Son of the Living God, is all sufficient, why would he now open his mouth publicly and make a special invitation and say that says, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. I give you three reasons why he made that statement. Number one, Exodus chapter 20, verse number 19. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus, God, wants a personal relationship. Jesus is interested in relationship. Can I hear somebody say he's interested in relationship? Jesus is interested. Now listen to this scripture. Please follow me. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Verse number 20. Can you make it very fast? And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear might be before your faces, that you see none. Well, that's okay, I'm good there. Before this time, Exodus chapter 20 was when God gave them the 10 commandments. And the people, God invited the people in order to be able to speak with them one-on-one, to be able to have conversation and relationship with them. As God came down in smoke, in powerful demonstration of his almightiness. Please, I'm going somewhere. You get me now? And as God came down in his almightiness, the people were afraid and they ran from him. When they ran from him, they now said, this is what they said, this is where I'm going. They now said, Moses, come between us and God. Hear from God. Download it to us. We are sufficient with that. But that's not the way it should be in the New Testament. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20. Bible talks about Jesus knocking the door of your heart. And it says, if you open the door of your heart to him, he will come in. He and his father will come in and sup with you so that they can have their habit in you. What are they looking for? They are looking for relationship. One of the things I've come to find out is this. Every relationship requires your cooperation. Ladies and gentlemen, it was relationship that Jesus was at the back of Jesus' mind when he said, come unto me, all ye that labor. In fact, our theme for this month is, come unto me. Why? Because I need relationship. I want to have relationship with you. I want us to begin to talk one-on-one. I want to be able to communicate with you without an intermediary. What God wants a New Testament Christian to do is to be able to relate with him through his son. It is because we have failed in our personal relationship with Jesus. That's why it's easy for some people to dupe us and defraud us in the name of horrible and funny and terrible prophecies that has no place in the scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody give out money to somebody because he wants the person to help him pray. He uses his money to eat. You see, no prayer was offered. Every one of us needs to enter into relationship. That was why Jesus said, come unto me. Number two, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want us to please listen very attentively. John chapter 2, verse number 24 and verse number 25. John chapter 6, verse number 64 and 65. Now, put those two scriptures together. I'm sorry I'm calling too many scriptures today, but I need to lay a very solid place, I mean solid ground, for us to have this understanding. This is Bible. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them. Because what? Me, boy, sir. Eh? He knew all men. He said, he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what is in man. I'd like you to please listen very attentively. Please listen and listen. Please, I beg of you. Jesus said, come unto me, because he knows you have problem. He knows I have problem. He knows that I may be in suit.
something is not suiting me well. He knows there are issues, sir. They told a brigadier general who came for medical service, and he was complaining very bitterly to the doctor. The doctor said it where I was, that, excuse me, doctor, I'm not sleeping. The doctor said, I've not been sleeping. The doctor said, were you having nightmares? He said, I just told you I've not been sleeping. Isn't there somebody that have nightmares? He was a brigadier general. He has fought in many battles, but he couldn't fight sleep. Jesus knew all men. There are things I may not know about you, but looking beautiful and looking gorgeous, I don't know what goes on in your mind. I don't know where you have been battling issues. I don't even know things you are grappling with. I may not even understand what is going on with you. We see ourselves, we say it is well. Jesus knew it is not well. We see ourselves, we know that we see ourselves, we dance and we jump up. We think it is okay with everybody, but listen to me, in the innermost of your being, he knows that things are not okay. He said, come unto me, because I know all men. I know you have you. I know you are struggling alone. I know there's a body in your heart that you are not able to carry. I know there is something you dare not share with anybody. I know you are struggling with a sin that will crush you if you don't come unto me. I know that the way you are going, you may fall into depression. I know the way you are going. In fact, the scripture I read in John chapter 6 verse 64, the Bible talks about Jesus knowing the disciples and knowing who it was that would betray him. Natural sense of the matter, that means he knew from the time that Judas joined his caucus that Judas was going to betray him. So he knew Judas was going to betray him. He would have said, come unto me, Judas. Let's talk about this matter. So he knew all men. I want to close with this one, and this is the cross of the matter. Come unto me. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20, as I begin to close. Come unto me. Come unto me. Why? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. No, give me 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Put John chapter 5 verse number 22 side by side. I want to close. But I need you to please listen carefully as I wrap up with this. Come unto me. Are we all there? You're going to do me a favor, please, church. You're going to help me to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse number 10. We have it on the screen. Thank you. 1, 2, shall we go? Awful. We must all appear. Abi, you go inside. You will appear. I will appear. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He says, come unto me, because he knows if you don't come now, you will come later. By force. I don't know whether you ever died. I died several years. Oh, my wife is there. All this issue of there is no heaven, there is no hell. A time is going to come, you will appear. I slept, I remember. I think 2000, I can't remember now, but 2005. A few minutes to 4 a.m. I saw my spirit leaving. I saw me leaving my body. I was sleeping by the side of my wife. And my spirit left, and I saw my body on the bed. I was ascending straight. Nobody was calling me, but I was going. You will know your way to heaven or hell without anybody saying, I was going until I approached a very big and massive gate. It happened a few minutes to 4, and I heard a voice right from within the gate, go back. Maybe some people are praying. Maybe my mother was praying. I knew it was not my wife. Sorry. Okay, she was the one. Praise the Lord. Abi. So I jumped back into my body and I raised my left leg. I opened my eyes. It was 4 a.m. I knew for 10 minutes I was gone. I broke out. I said, Mutipusha. He said, my yahweh, anywhere. I didn't know. But this is not. The truth of the matter is this, whether she would have turned mad or not, but I wouldn't have known that. What this is, what I'm saying is this, come unto me now. You are saying, give me 1 minute. Come unto me. You are saying, I got no time for you. Come
unto me. He said, I want to enjoy life small. Come unto me. He said, excuse me. Ah, I want me to, this thing is not too enough. This thing is, this Christian is boring. My son looked at me and said, I don't want to be the kind of Christian you are. I said, ah, what kind of Christian am I? He said it to me. The whole kind of Christianity is strange. So when I saw the fellowship, the attendance on campus, the way they were dancing, I said, ah, she thought, oh Lord, he thought in Dubai. My wife said, what should we have with those who are dancing? I said, I don't have any shamoli concern. What I'm saying is this one. If you say this kind of Christianity is not your own, what I'm saying is this. If you are not coming now, Jesus, who is calling you to come now, knows that after now, you will come by yourself. And you will appear. Ola Kanu Bible. That's what we read in the scripture. That place where we read, first, I think 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20. It said, we must. Oh, it's a must. It's a must. We must all appear before. Thank you. Thank you for giving that scripture. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. At that time, it's not going to be, I will give you rest. It's either I will give you unrest. It's not going to be, I will help you. It's either you will now see me in my true color. Ladies and gentlemen, when you read John chapter 5, verse number 22, the Bible says all judgment is committed unto the Son. So he knew that he's the one who will sit as a judge over your matter. That's why he said, everyone is in God's sorrow. Come and let us talk about this matter. This thing that you have been talking about, come, let us sort it out. He knew that one of these days he will sit down and begin to judge you. Say, let nobody will judge you. It is me. Come, let us talk. Before you meet me that day, when I will no longer be able to have mercy, come, let us talk. Bible says, come unto me, because one day you will come by force. Let's go and pray. I'd like you to. Somebody is saying, all my life, I want to. I know there are issues. Honestly, I'm not oblivious of the fact that it's not easy to come. I know. But let's come and sort it out this morning. I'm going to call a few prayers. No, I've got just two. My time is up. But please just give me 1 minute. If you are under the sound of my voice and you know that the issue of this coming unto him is not okay with you. You are not with him. You know as well as I do that you are having issue. You know there are things you do that will never allow you to stay with him. If you are that kind of a person, raise your hand. Let's do prayer together. You want to say, Pastor, I want to turn my life over unto Jesus. I pray for you in the hours of today. I want to give my life. I want to come unto him. I want to hand over my life unto him. I know that the way my life is going, if I eventually appear before him, there will be issue. It's better you sort it out now. If I have you under my voice, we are going to pray together. If I don't have you, well, do you have anybody under the sound of my voice who want to say, I'm coming, I want to come unto you. I want to hand over my life unto you. Thank you.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's choice servant. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join God's choice servant in life-changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samunda UA Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lifehouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.